Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back, yet again, to Pixels and Dice. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Beolus.
And, well, today I want to talk a little about something that bugged me recently. I have been hearing from various tabletop role players, and this is in regard to modules, which are pre-written adventures for people that don't play tabletop role-playing games. They're pre-written adventures. They usually have all the characters, everything you need, all laid out so you can just pick it up, read through it, and run that game. Right?
Okay.
They've been around since the early days of role-playing. And that's great. I love modules. I think modules and adventure paths and things like that, they're all fantastic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But what bugged me is here I overheard some people talking specifically about modules and adventure paths in Pathfinder and saying that they hate running a game unless it is at least based upon a module or an adventure path.
Okay.
Because doing it themselves is too hard.
Okay, I get that. What's wrong with that?
Well, would you care to elaborate on your thoughts there?
Okay. Some people don't have a lot of time. You know, single moms, they don't have the time to put into crafting an adventure to all the little details that's necessary to do it right. And so modules are just a quick and dirty way to just game with their friends on in those rare moments they have to play. Maybe the person has anxiety issues. You know, I don't want to say mental issues. It's just they have a situation where they can't focus on crafting an adventure, or they just don't have the energy, the whatever it takes to put a game together and run it. So they have to conserve what little energy they have towards running the game and not crafting it. So modules play a lot of roles. Personally, I love modules. I don't run them because I'd rather do my own thing. And I have modules, and I use those because there's, you know, you open them up, there's a ton of already crafted NPCs, which you can just cherry pick and drop into your adventure. You've got a name, you've got stats, you've got, you know, he's geared, you've got motivations behind him, you've got everything you need just to throw him in and let it go.
Moreover, you've got pre-done maps, dungeons all drawn out, laid out, you've populated. That's all great. I'm not saying those are bad things. My problem is the whole, well, it's just too hard to actually, you know, try and think for myself and build my own adventure. Because that was the thing. It was, it's just easier.
Well, and, okay, I do see your point. But the people who have this person running their game for them, if that's all he's going to do, they're not going to stick with him as a game master for very long unless they're of a like mind.
Or they don't know any better.
Yeah, well, also, there are all those people who love game masters who do nothing but modules because they've already played those modules. They've already know what the encounters. They already know what to expect. And so when he's trying to be sneaky and have them walk into this trapped room and they already know the traps are there, so they avoid them. And they completely ruin his fun.
Yeah, but
he has nobody to blame but himself because your module has been out and for sale for years. Ta-da! They've already played it, dumbass.
But where's the fun in playing that game then? You've played it before. You know what it is. It's oh, you're seal clubbing the game master because, oh, you got one over on him. Huh? Yeah, that's fun maybe once, maybe.
Well, no, really? There's personalities out there. They absolutely love it because they can maximize their characters for that adventure.
Yeah. Well, I have had somebody do that to me in the past where I was running a module and I just changed things up and then he was all, hey, that's not how that goes. Really? It's not? Oh. Yeah, and he admitted later he had read the module. Uh-huh.
Now,
fuck off,
going
dude.
Back, do you remember the much maligned game master who the only good games she ran were modules? She didn't have the capacity to write her own good modules or her own good games. She used modules and was fairly competent when all the information was laid out in front of her and all she had to do was go from point A to point B, etc. They were entertaining and we weren't able to just, you know, raffle stomper.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not that obviously modules have a place.
I understand that.
My concern, though, is that, as with the title, we are raising a generation of gimped game masters.
Well, we are.
We have, especially, I'm going to blame Paizo. I am, as much as it's easy to do.
As well you should.
Paizo with their adventure paths.
Uh-huh.
Now, I get it. They're just a long string of modules, essentially, right? So you take your character, you start a character in this, and you run them through this adventure path. It takes them all the way, if they survive, all the way to the, you know, end game, like, well, at level 20 or whatever, right? You can level your character all the way up through this, and that's awesome. It has its place in that game. But the problem is when...
Good.
For example, my sweetie and I went to a local game store.
Uh-huh.
And we were there looking to finally check out. We were looking at dice or whatever. And we'd mentioned that we play Pathfinder because that's what we were doing at the time. And the guy at the counter goes, well, what adventure path do you play? And we just looked at him and I was like, none. And my sweetie said, I was like, he runs his own games, meaning me.
Right.
And the guy looked like we had just freaking kicked his dog. He didn't know what to do with it. He was confused. And it's like, but that's what Pathfinder is. It's what you do. That's how you play. No, it's not. Pathfinder, as I recall, is a role-playing game, right? And it doesn't say in there, must play all the adventure paths. You don't. No thought involved. You will play these adventures and there are no other adventures to be had. No. It says you take this book and you run games. It says nothing about Adventure Path. It says nothing about Pathfinder Society or anything along those lines. It says play games. Make games. As you wish. You know, like we play Pathfinder.
Right.
Never picked up a single Adventure Path game. Never picked up any of the homebrew Pathfinder Society games. None of it. Why? Because we don't need to? Or really want to?
Yes.
I feel like if I have to break out a module, it's either because it's a one-shot, or friends asked for it, like when I used to do those Call of Cthulhu modules for our old group.
Yeah.
They wanted to play those modules, so okay, I ran those modules.
Mm-hmm.
Or it says a means to get ideas. You know, last minute, oh god, let's play something. Oh shoot, I haven't even thought of anything. Look through a module real quick, get a couple ideas, and go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or take the module, tell them you're going to run it, and then change things and do it your own way. Because you can.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern is that as we go along, more and more game masters are going to become either reliant upon modules and adventure paths and the like, to the point where they're not really going to know how to really game master. And yes, all, you know, friends aside that couldn't run a game without a module, without all that aside, if you can't run a game without a module. You're not a real game master.
Eh, I still think they're game masters. They're just not self-reliant game masters.
You can be adjudicating the rules just fine. But if there's none of your imagination or your input into the story, you're just a referee. You're not a game master.
Well,
and you know what? Anybody can fucking pick up a rule and pick up the books and go, the rules say that this spell works in this way, or it says that that roll was a hit. It doesn't have to be the game master that does that. The game master can have nothing to do with the rules. They can have somebody sitting beside them that's doing all the refereeing, and they're just weaving a tale.
Yeah. Now, that's not always true with the more recent modules slash adventure books, because my wife got me the Waterdeep Dragon Heist book, and it is an adventure that takes you from level 1 to level 5 and maybe a little above, depending upon how you do it. And then it has a corresponding book that takes you from level 6, basically, all the way up to level 20.
Okay.
And you don't have to run it the same way each time. It gives you multiple villains to choose. It gives you multiple paths to take. You have missions that you can do in between. You have all these little things that you can do. It's just giving you points. You know, like Chapter 3, Fireball. A fireball explodes in the city, and you need to find out who did it, why it was done, etc.
So it's an adventure hook book.
Yeah.
That I was deliberately not including adventure hooks in this, because those are still, here's the hook. The game master still has to flesh that out, still has to go and put their own spin on it. Fleshed out.
This has, you can follow it just like a module from point A all the way through.
Right. Or you can use it as an adventure hook book.
Yes. And that's what I like about it, is you have multiple different things you can do. You can take the same book and run through 15 different ways.
Okay. That still doesn't
push back on
my point.
No. I'm just saying that it's not just this one easy little thing. There is input from the game master as to how the story progresses.
Unless you don't want there to be.
Exactly.
And my point is that more and more, it seems like people are, especially with the how powerful Paizo is with the role-playing industry, and Wizards of the Coast, both companies that push out adventure paths and modules, that's becoming, you know, used to be D&D had their modules, and that was fine, and some other games had them too. In fact, back in the 80s, a lot of games had their own modules, you know, for their games. And that was great. But for a while there, it then fell away. I mean, you would have books like Rift. Rifts would put out world books and things like that, which may give you some ideas. But again, those are adventure hooks. You'd have some games that would come out, which would be like with Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, has a built-in starter adventure, right? To give you an idea how the game is run. Those are fun, great, whatever. But for a while there, it was kind of got away from that idea. It was more reliance on the game master. And now, with 5th edition, and with Pathfinder 2 coming, and Starfinder, it's seeming like we're swinging back towards a major reliance on modules. Which,
well,
I still will argue, hurts the quality of a game master.
But we had that, like you said before, we had times when modules were the thing. People relied on them. That was all they did was modules. They would start with this module, move to this module. They pretty much had them in a certain order so you could go from level 1 to level 20 just through these set of modules.
Actually,
and that was how a lot of people did it.
Maybe.
But that fell away and people went back to running their own games. It's cyclical. We're just seeing a more module reliant group of game masters, and it's eventually going to come back around and people are going to be running their own more often.
Well,
it is how it is.
Respectfully say, that's not what I said. What I said was that there used to be a lot of, you know, modules out there. D&D put out lots of modules. Lots of games put out modules. I never said that there was a huge reliance on modules. In fact...
But there was.
No, not necessarily.
At every game store we went to, that's all people were running, were module games at the tables.
I beg to differ. Do you recall that one game we played with that our friend Dwight was running? You know, the post-apocalyptic one that ended with people throwing grenades at each other in a freaking bar? That was not a module.
Okay, not every single one of them, but a good portion of them were. I'd say at least two-thirds to three-quarters of them were module games.
And they do that to try and get you to buy the module to run it for your own group.
Well, and if people are willing to spend the money for those modules or for those adventure books, let them.
Yeah. What I was saying, though, was back in the past, yes, there was more modules. There were lots more modules being put out. Not that people were just playing them, because there was, as I recall, a large amount of people. It was a large push towards, hey, there's modules, but these are meant for, you know, if you got no other option. The idea was more, you sit around your table with your group and the game master crafts their own. I even remember that being discussed in the original books, is that the role of the game master or dungeon master back then was to create and run the games. It didn't mention to go out and buy and run the modules. Then you went to more, you know, within the 90s, with more the advent of the World of Darkness games and things like that. Yes, they did put out stuff that were adventure-based sort of things, like some of the city books. They were like your Waterdeep book. Lots of ideas, you know, even adventures in them. But they were there to give you a groundwork if you wanted to run your adventures, your own adventures, in that city. Pre-made, like, the prince was already designed. The major NPCs were already there. So it made it easier. But you still had to run the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now it seems like we're going in a third direction where, yes, there's two major games out there. Let's be honest. There's Paizo's Pathfinder / Pathfinder 2 and Starfinder, all basically as a group. And there's 5th edition,
mm-hmm.
D&D. Those dominate the industry right now. And with them pushing more and more on modules, and eventually, essentially, Paizo with their Adventure Pathapalooza. Oh, God. What adventure path do you run? None? God, that still bugs me. Anyway, it just seems like it's directing people to step away from the whole being your own game master to being a referee of someone else's game.
Well, of course, there's more money to be made in selling modules.
Sure. So why don't you see that coming from a bunch of other games?
Don't know.
It just, well, maybe they're just so small that all they can do is put out stuff on DriveThruRPG as a e-book. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's I'm just in a mood and something's, you know, it just bugged me and I had to say something about it, but I don't know. I think this is really, really bad for the future of role-playing.
And well, definitely could be.
If you are a game master who relies way too much on modules, feels like, you know, I can't really do it, or I don't want to do it without a module, I'm going to say the same thing to you guys that I just said to Bealus in the pre-show earlier. Hand your books to somebody else. Let them run the game. I don't care if you want to be the game master. Maybe you aren't good enough.
Well, that is one way of looking at it. But then again, maybe in that group, there's only one person really who wants to run games. And so everybody's looking to him to run games.
Or her.
Or her.
Or they.
Whatever. So, and they're just not good at writing their own adventures. They just don't get it. But they're fair enough to do a module. As far as I'm concerned, let them play the way they enjoy playing.
Oh, by all means. Having people playing is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, by all means, pick up that module. Run that adventure path. Change some details. Use the NPCs. Use the maps. Change the story.
Mm-hmm.
It can run out. You could run the battles and encounters from straight down the line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the exact same order that the module goes. Change some details of the storyline. And it'll be a totally different story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that's not exactly groundbreaking ideas, but I'd hate to think that we're getting, no, I want to say raising, but that we're developing a bunch of game masters with bad habits. And you're doing a disservice to yourself, to your game group, and to the potential hit, you know, future of role-playing, by not at least trying to be a role player. Now, I'm sure I'll get, well, we probably won't get comments because nobody listens to this. But if they did, oh my God, there'd be people complaining. Oh, you're so arrogant to say that I don't actually do a good job, that I don't think about things.
Well,
I may be arrogant, but I'm right.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. And my opinion's right.
Again, it's an opinion.
And like assholes, everyone has one. I know. And I am fully willing to admit I am an asshole, grade A, number one. Even 10 would agree with that. But
sometimes.
Yeah, perhaps only sometimes. Just, you know, Sunday through Saturday, all but 2 days, you know, 2 minutes on Saturday mornings. Anyway, point is, just, I don't think it's too much to ask for some people to, some people, that sounds wrong, but for people to think, don't let other people detail your story. I mean,
well, the way I see it is if somebody relies on modules and that's all they do, eventually they're going to want to tell their own story. They're going to want to put their own spin on the world that they're playing in.
Well, I would hope so. But I think you're giving people far too much credit. I mean, let's remember, what adventure path are you running? Because he was of the opinion, that dude at the clerk in the game store, was of the opinion that if you're not playing the official adventure paths put out by Paizo, then what's the point of playing Pathfinder?
Okay, and just like you said earlier, remember who it was who was talking to you. Somebody who ran a game store who wanted you to buy things.
Yeah, it was a guy working there, and I was buying things, but I wasn't going to buy their adventure paths because I'm not a gimp. I'm sorry, that sounded bad.
It did.
But I'm opinionated and I just...
You insult people at random.
There are adventure hook books for a reason. If you have difficulty running a game, go grab online. Type in adventure hooks for game X or whatever game you're running. Just type that in, and I'll guarantee you, you'll find adventure hooks D5E.
Cannot find that you're looking for.
No. Well, the first one was a link to Geek and Sundry Best weirdest, best funniest, and weirdest D&D adventure hooks. Second article from Ed the Bard's blog. Steal this. 50 adventure hooks to swipe for your game. Third one. 100 adventure ideas. D&D other from the D&D wiki. Adventure hook random generator from Wizards of the Coast. Let's make 10,000 plot hooks on Reddit. And it just goes on and on and on. My point being, there's no excuse to just go, I'm going to run a module, and that's all I want to do is run modules. Sit down, read through a few of these when you have a little bit of time, because who doesn't have time to surf the internet? You're listening to this lousy show, aren't you? And you can click the thing and go, oh, look, 100 adventure ideas, D&D other. Pick a number between 1 and 100, sir.
Well, there's plenty of things out there. People just need to look for them.
And he completely ignores my pick a number.
No. Fine. 14.
Discovering a portal to another plane leads to an exploration party. That's kind of vague, but you know what? I could work with it. Or I could flip it around to 41 and go, classic bar fight turns sour quick as a ring of metallic transmutation falls into the wrong hands. Ooh, there's an idea.
Well, that portal one, that reminds me of the world I'm building. Mm-hmm. One of the continents is a magic-based community. Almost everybody there has magic of one form or another. And there's this, in the main city, there's this massive portal that nobody knows who built it, when it was built, or how it works. And they've been studying it ever since. That's where the community sprung from. That's why that whole continent is populated by magicians.
Okay.
Trying to figure out what this portal is or does.
Hmm. Sorry, I wasn't privy to that. All I knew was shoving a sock down a dying man's throat and running from gigantic. What was it? A goose?
Yeah, gigantic goose.
Yeah. Of course, I'm a halfling, so everything's gigantic to me. But this was a uber gigantic one, 30 foot tall, whatever.
Yes.
Yes.
30 gigantic foot tall goose. And pissed off.
And that's why you don't do modules, because what module's going to give you that? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. I just had fun naming all the different animals. You know, all the giant creatures. The big chickens, the hens were big breasts. The roosters were big other things. I can't remember what I called the cows, but it was just, you know, I was having fun with it.
Yeah. And it was an enjoyable game.
I thought so. I had a lot of fun.
Anywho, so I think I've stretched this out long enough. We're a little over. So do you have any final thoughts besides telling me I'm wrong?
Well, okay, you're wrong.
You couldn't resist that, could you?
Well, you gave me the opportunity. Of course I'm going to say it.
Uh-huh. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.